captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
We're starting now then, okay. In 32 fans fashion in the middle of the conversation, okay. With no intro. So what are you chastising me for?
Well, there's like a very famous meme online, which is from Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave on Netflix.
Oh, and... well, that you didn't say that. I famously do not like that show, though I did listen to most of that podcast that Josh and Mike and Rob and you. Were you on that?
No, I think it was Alex and Av.
Got it.
55 burgers, 55 ties, fries, tacos, pies, whatever. But I'm shy, so you don't even know that.
No.
Amazing. Should we watch it now?
Like on the podcast, we on both watch podcast? It, or we stop and go watch. Neither of us have the resources for that. If Alex or Rob were here, they could like put it on the screen.
We need a producer. You think it's too late to get like a producer?
Wow, disrespect to producer Gully. We have a producer.
That's true. I haven't heard from her in a while. But yeah, PK, if you have any ideas how we could sort of play audio and comment on it and play it on the podcast, let us know.
Well, Kiwi, producer Kelly, I have heard from producer Kelly. She reached out to me. A lot of people have reached out to
me. She's ghosting me?
No, to ask how you're doing.
Oh, she could have asked me herself, honestly.
Well, you know how people... get like it's like you don't honestly I've wanted to message you like every day and being like, hey, just making sure you're alive, but I don't, well, I wait for you.
Got it.
And then I breathe a sigh of relief when I hear some message, usually not about anything relevant, but I'm thrilled to hear from you. Do you want to give an update? Do you want to just talk about the episode? I think we're here for a distraction potentially.
Yeah, we could talk about the episode. Honestly, one of my least favorite episodes of the series, to be honest. I was happy to talk about the episode, but I just think it's kind of a bad episode.
All right. I mean, we could talk about, we could talk about the war going on if you'd prefer to talk.
No, I mean, this episode was, yeah. Oh, we could talk about whatever you want.
Well, how are you? I think the listeners tuning in will, one, be surprised that we're dropping a third episode in a row on time, particularly given the situation in the world right now. If ever there was an excuse to miss an NGOG episode, we have it.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing fine. Listen, I feel like a little useless. Like there's people who are really doing, even my kids, you know, because a lot of the adults got called up to the reserves or doing other things. And obviously there's a lot more security needed now. So I do feel like I'm mostly just working, you know what I mean? Also, a lot of people at work aren't there. So I'm trying to just like be a little more helpful and pitch in as much as I can at work, which I understand is not like, you know, it's a distraction too, but it's ultimately like, but even my kids, like, you know, like packing, you know, stuff. And one day they were babysitting kids. One of my kids was babysitting kids from one of the communities in the South here that was devastated by attacks. So like, you know, they're trying to be, do like volunteer a lot and do stuff and stay safe. But yeah, it's been, I guess I haven't talked about this in a podcast. You know about this, but we went to a funeral for a family friend, who was killed on Saturday. We went to the funeral, I think it was Monday, cause the kid is from London. So his parents were in,
I'm pretty sure he went to Ollie's school because there was an article about it and it was a 20-year-old British kid. Like
yes.
It just seemed to,
yes. There's probably aren't that
similar.
Many.
I was
that
like,
many
this
schools,
is 100%
yeah.
The funeral Akiva went to.
Yeah, so.
She just talks about how Jews are, like how few Jews there are. Like the
yeah,
one
for
Jew,
sure.
Like, yeah, it's got to be the same Jew.
Yeah. yeah. So we went and there was like, so basically the way it works is they have these sirens. If there are bombs, we have something called the Iron Dome, for people who don't know, which is basically a pretty, you know, cool thing that shoots down rockets. That's not 100% accurate, but it shoots down a lot of them, and it basically disarms the rockets. So when there are rockets shot in the neighborhood, if you are at risk, then there's a very loud alarm that, you know, goes off across the country. Ironically, it's hard to hear. When we were in synagogue on the holiday on Saturday, there was an alarm, and we did not hear it. You really have to be outdoors for the most part to hear it, even though it's incredibly loud, but ultimately like how loud could it be without like bursting your eardrums? So there were rockets during the funeral. So everyone had, you know, there was over 1,000 people for sure at the funeral. It was crazy. Even though the kid has, you know, just a little bit of family here. His, let's say, army friends were not really alive anymore to be able to go to the funeral. So, 1,000 people like dropping to the floor. So you drop for, I think, 90 seconds or 2 minutes. I think 2 minutes is the danger zone in Jerusalem. One of the tricky things about the situation is that some of the communities that were hit hard, like Sderot, which is like the famous community that's very close to Gaza, they have 10 seconds because they're much closer. So they basically have to like live in bomb shelters. I think it's actually been fully evacuated today just because right now it's like unlivable. It was like this very, very scary moment, even though like, I'm not really scared of like, I think I'm a little too mathematical for this stuff. Like if there's one or two rockets and there's a huge city, like I don't think the rocket is going to hit, you know what I mean? Like A, most of the rockets get shot down. B, like, I'm not especially afraid of one rocket, you know what I mean? Like, it happens, but, like, you sort of...
I can't say this any more clear. Yeah. No, I don't know what you mean.
But I'm saying, like, if there's one rocket that's at most...
It's surreal to even be having this conversation.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, because we've had dealt with rockets forever, like, there's no... the odds are very low, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, you have to be safe and don't be stupid and, like... But I wasn't especially nervous, but...
You've accepted a certain amount of risk and gotten used to it.
Yeah, but I even don't think it's that much risk ultimately.
Right.
Yeah.
Although
I was thinking, is it because we were sort of under a tree at the cemetery? Like, do you think it's safer to be under a tree or worse? Because, like, it'll just, I don't know. I didn't really figure out. Everyone went, it was like, it was in the middle of his sister's eulogy, and everyone sort of dropped immediately. It was rough. I mean, first of all, just to be at the funeral of someone who's burying their child is pretty bad. Even though they were very stoic, they were very, well, I would say British, like very, you know, like put together. And so that was scary. And honestly, like I was fine. And I had sort of forgotten, like I had to go to the bathroom when we got there. So like I wasn't with Mara and my two daughters who went. So they were, because there were so many people, I couldn't even see them. I didn't even know where they were. But they told me Mara like lied down on top of them. Although my daughter still did manage to take a picture. She did post. I'm like, how did you get this
Adira,
picture?
If mom right? was
now Ella is like Ella's more sort of me. It's like, how did you post this picture on social media from you lying on the floor during the alarm? If mom was on you, she's like, oh, I stuck my hand out and like just hoped for the best, and she got a good picture. I was like, you're grounded.
Okay, it is the most you thing of all time. That Mara had to cover the children alone in a time of war because you were MIA and had to go to the bathroom.
I didn't even know where they were.
Did you grab a snack? Like, what did you, like?
No, I.
This is the least funny, most hilarious
thing I've ever heard. We got to the funeral, and I said out loud in the car, even though we had like a lot of, you know, polite company, I was like, I don't think I've ever had to pee this bad in my life, but like, it's a cemetery. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where are the bathrooms? I have no idea. And then I was like, and I remember thinking, like, if I was, like, at that point, like, I would have risked my life without question to use the bathroom. Like, that's, I don't know why, but that's how badly
but
I had to go.
You could just pee your pants then and risk embarrassment
and not risk your life. Yes, that's true, but then, like, it would have been a very awkward car at home with 8 other people, you know what
I mean?
You're
covering your kids, you're covered in urine, it's the whole
It's true, yeah, they
thing.
Would have been, yeah. So, anyway, so I wasn't near them. And also, I have, like, no sense of direction. I was wandering around. It took a while to start. And
like, this is why people hate Jews. Good thing no Jew haters are listening to this.
Why? Because it took so long to start, or the?
No, I'm kidding. But I'm glad you're in good spirits, considering what you are living through. Even though you are downplaying your own involvement, living there as a Jewish person is a contribution at this point. I'm glad that you were able to find a bathroom. I mean, I am kind of curious. I didn't know a cemetery would have a public
restroom. So basically,
restroom.
Because it's like the military cemetery also, I think there's like a museum and other stuff. So there was like, there were like, I was able to find it. Just like I had to walk like down the street.
Okay. So you were alone or not alone?
Yes, we drove like a whole car of people. Honestly, like we thought like, hey, they don't know a lot of people. He didn't know. He's new here. Like, maybe he wouldn't know anybody, but then everyone thinks that because there was a Brazilian girl, I think, or a guy, I don't remember, someone from Brazil who was new here and really knew nobody. And they said, like, hey, we just want to make sure we have a minion. You need 10 people to say the Kaddish, the Jewish mourner's prayer, at the funeral. And you always see it all the time. My friend Andrew works in the Jewish, like, funeral industry. And, you know, they are, it's like a constant thing where you need, you know, you might have to, it's maybe a little old lady dies. Someone just came over from Russia to New York and didn't know anybody. And so you need to sort of gather 10 men. So anyway, there was like 10,000 people there because everyone heard, you know, sort of heard the call. Trying to, you know, get people equipment and whatever, be a little, you know, useful, but, ultimately I'm sort of, you know, just doing my thing, not leaving the house. That's where we are now on Thursday night.
Are the kids, moving from, ooh, I'm out of school to stir crazy, or
yeah, I mean, I think they're going to start Zoom school, the little ones, on Sunday.
Even there to teach?
Like, well, that's what I said to my daughter. I said, because she had 2 years of COVID, and then last year, like, school was kind of a mess, and then so I said, like, you've basically been in school 50 times in 4 years, not even a joke. And I said, like, don't they have Zoom class? She's like, no, because all the teachers' husbands aren't home and all the teachers have like 7 kids. So it's not realistic for them to teach. So there's no school.
Are women not included in compulsory military service?
They are, but they can get out of it. They do national service, which could be like working in an orphanage or a battered women's shelter or, you know, other like all sorts of other charities or whatever. I know people work at the zoo, you know, like there's all sorts of there's all sorts of things that Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, all sorts of things that.
So
that,
if you were of reserve age, but you didn't actually serve in the military, you were not in the reserve, like you're not getting called out.
Oh, no, because there's people experience. Like even the people who said, let's say, come here often, like the people who move here, like I did. Now, I was not of interest to the Army. I was 2 kids at 28 when I moved here. But even those people like generally don't have to do reserves. And then like a lot of people I know are like late 30s have already sort of aged out, so they have not been called. And let's hope they don't. It would be bad if they start having to like call other people. But then I guess in theory you could like volunteer, but I don't think they're up to that now. I mean, they have like, because so many people served. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, if you're asking about women, were you asking about women? Like the, I don't know any, maybe my sister-in-law got called up, but she's pregnant. I don't know if she, so she wouldn't have to anyway. It wouldn't obviously be an option, but none of the women I know who served were called up for reserves.
It's like funny. People who are in it. My friend whose husband is now has been called up and is serving. She moved. He's Israeli. She moved like 6 years ago, I want to say. Five, 6 years ago. And I'm 32, so whatever that was. And they were like, no, we don't want you. Like at the time, like when she would have made all.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're in your 30s.
They were like, yeah, you're elderly. No, she was at late 20s at the time. They were like, goodbye. Thankfully. But anyway. No, it's really surreal. Every time I talk to you about this, I've been in a news doom scroll for the past 4 days. It is absolutely surreal, and I am sick to my stomach every 30 to 45 minutes. But again, I'm glad you guys are staying strong and in good spirits over there. And I mean, teachers who are going to do Zoom school during this, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable, like, resilience, and not surprising, but unbelievable resilience to just continue on. The fact that you're still doing your work, your normal work, that matters. Like, that is unbelievable resilience.
Well, I gotta pay the bills. I can't, you know, I can't feed my family without NGOG.
No, not this. I don't know why you're doing this. I made a joke last night. It is true. I was like, this is, I think, the first week you've asked me about NGOG in 6 months. Mm-hmm. So your renewed dedication is surprising yet appreciated.
Well, honestly, I mean, if you think about it, I spend like 12 hours a week commuting probably, and I didn't this week, so I have more time.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad to be talking to you. Let's talk a little bit about the episode. Oh, well, actually, I wanted to ask this. Like, how was the timing with the scavenger hunt? Did that did not get off the ground, I imagine?
It did. It did. So, honestly, it was a different time, right? Because everything bad happened on Saturday, and the scavenger hunt was scheduled for Friday. So, yeah, the scavenger hunt, a great question, because it feels like a lifetime ago. But, yeah, so basically...
It was.
For people who don't remember, my 9-year-old son had been planning for 4 months a scavenger hunt. The budget kept going up as we kept postponing it.
I have old business, no arm scavenger hunt. What costs money? That was my big follow up of what was the money spent.
Okay,
on.
So first of all, he's pretty interesting. It started with him boiling an egg. I don't know why. But
something you wouldn't have been able to do. So congrats to Noam.
But he boiled an egg. And then I don't know what the egg was. It was like, basically, at some point he threw the egg and I got mad. And everyone was like, you're going to ruin the whole day. I was like, no, because there's egg on our.
He threw a hard-boiled egg?
He threw a hard-boiled egg. I'm not sure why. at the wall outside. And I made them go clean it up. But then basically it started with there was a lot of clues. Like envelopes would lead to clues. You'd figure it out and it'd take you to the next thing. Of course, he couldn't, like, hide them all over, like, the country. So, he would basically, like, you'd figure the clue and then he'd put it there when we got there to the next place. In the past, he had done it, like, just locally with actually hiding envelopes. But for the most part, there were a few things he hid. But for the most part, it was there, you know, when we got there. So the first thing was everyone had to change into, like, junky clothes. And we had a water balloon fight with, like, 500 water balloons.
Blew up, or did he do it?
That's a good question. He must have done it. I think he planned everything himself. I assume he did it, but maybe I honestly don't know. I'm really not. I'm not a big details person around here. I don't know. Whoever did it, I showed up. There was a lot of water balloons, so we had a water fight. You know, I mostly ganged up against Shy because he.
Your 2-year old?
No, he's only one.
You threw water balls.
He wanted
two,
you.
No?
He wanted. He was very happy.
You pelted your one-year-old.
I got pelted. I would like throw them at his feet, and then he'd throw them back. He's cute. Not strong enough. Like he doesn't even break them half the time. It was very fun.
Yeah. You're weak, baby. Literal baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like getting wet or anything like that. But so that was fun. And then we went to I think there was a clue at the grocery store and a clue at one of the kids' old nursery schools. Then we went bowling, which was not really something I realized we were going to do, and I think that was a major expense. We paid for 7 games of bowling. Yes, Shai did get his own game.
Did he have the little ramp, the baby ramp?
Yes, he did have the baby ramp. He pushes it off the baby ramp. One time he didn't, and the ball like didn't even get halfway down, and then, you know, it's that whole thing where it gets stuck, and the guy's got to come get it or whatever. So we went bowling. And then,
I have a question. I have a question about the bowling. I always wonder this. So you have various levels of children in your family. So do you do 2 lanes, one with bumpers, one without?
What a great question. Great question.
Thank you.
Yes, we do 2 lanes, one with bumpers, one without. So it was the 4 older people without and the 3 boys with bumpers.
And they don't have, like, ego. Like, Yosef has no ego about using bumpers.
I think, like, he would probably, if you asked him, say, who's the world's best bowler, I'm sure he would say him. Just like we were watching soccer before, and he would say, like, oh, I could do that. And, you know, I would have scored that goal, even though that guy missed it. I've never missed an empty net once. I don't know. I think it was fine.
The bumpers. He doesn't see the bumpers.
Nah, I think there. And also, like, there's an arcade there, so they're, like, more focused on the grade. So I think one of the things we had to do was like, I guess they had a lot of tokens from last time for the arcade games, and we had to get like a certain amount of tickets to get something for the next clue. That probably was a big expense too. These things are sort of like money sucks, right? Like each game is probably a couple dollars, and we played like a zillion games.
Did you eat at the bowling alley at least?
We got French fries.
Okay, nice.
I did say that was my one thing. I said like in the car on the way, one of our longer trips, I said like, is there food on the, because when Ella, my daughter did this once years ago and it was all food. We just went from like food place to food place. And I was like, I wasn't happy. But by the end, I was like, oh, this was great. He's like, no, not really. There was no food on his agenda. Because he's not interested, I guess. He's a 9-year-old boy. So either, I guess, snacks and the French fries. But
that's the one COVID thing that still shakes me is, like, the use of communal bowling balls in the fingers in the hole and then eating. But
I said, like, everyone's got to wash their hands.
We've talked about that, I think. Eating, though, is such a critical part of enjoying bowling. So it's complicated for me personally.
I agree. And it's the wrong type of food, honestly.
Yeah, because it's grease. It's only adding to the problem.
It wasn't like seven portions. It was like one big basket of fries.
Yeah.
So then,
well, with your family, I'm less concerned. It's
no,
like
I mean,
there's
still
balls
the bowling balls.
And,
no, it's yeah, everyone's balls are getting mixed.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, we did. So we did a bunch of other things. We went to the mall, and so this is funny. We go to the mall because there's a bunch of clues there, and I like really broke my diet and got a bunch of junk, like. Very like carby type food, like pastries food in the mall, because I was starving at this point. And then Yosef, my 6-year-old, was getting tired, and I really like I had a lot of work to do. It was a Friday, even though technically I don't work, like I usually have a lot of work to do on Friday. And so he was like, "Dad, could you take me home?" They're talking about like going all the way to the Western Wall, like that's the last clue, and that's like it's a lot to get in, especially with a little kid. It's like, even, you know, we have a car, but it's like you park outside. It's probably 20 minutes each way just to get to the wall because it's a lot of walking. They didn't make it back in the day for cars. It's really not very accessible. And so I was like,
almost everything.
Yeah. So I was like, let's go. And then I tried to convince them not to go. I was like, you know what? He said there's 20 stops. I forgot to say that. Each stop was long and we only had like 5 hours for Shabbat. We had like a hard out. We had to leave at like 4:30. We ended up leaving at like 5:15, but we had a hard out. So I was like, all right, you know what? This is really fun, but like, let's skip the last step and we'll do it for the next time. But they had also like brought me pants because they knew we were going to the Western Wall and you can't, it's not like a shorts thing really. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go. So then I go, and I guess I'm an old man because I always have to pee. So I go to the mall bathroom, and I unzip my shorts, and the button pops off. And that was like probably because I used to be so heavy. I noticed when I put it on, it was so loose, but I put it on because I was like, oh, we're probably going to get dirty. Like, let me put on my worst pair of shorts, but the button pops off. Now I'm in the mall. I got to like hold up.
My button pops off because they're too big.
No, they're tight. But I put them on once or twice, and then I gained a lot of weight, and so the button was, like, screaming for its life. And it was, like, or basically it was off. Like, I shouldn't have put on these shorts, but I risked it. Now I'm in the mall, and, like, I got to hold up my shorts. I didn't even have a belt because they were tight. I didn't think I needed it. And now I'm, like...
Who was tired? Wait.
They were tight. I'm saying, like,
oh,
I didn't think I...
They said they
so
were
now
tired.
So now I was, like, this must be a sign because, like, I was not going to go. I was going to go home. But now I need to put on the pants anyway, which I didn't want to do. And they're going to the Western Wall. Like, to me, it's a sign. Then I came back and I'm like, Mara, like, this is embarrassing, but my shorts popped off. I got to go to the car and switch from shorts to pants. And she's like, oh, that's probably a sign that, like, you should be coming with us with, you know, because why else are your shorts popping? So I'm like, all right, I had the insane thought. So I'll come. So we went. I mean, that was pretty much the end of it. You always meet like a lot of strange people. Not always, but you often meet like a lot of strange tourist groups when you go to the Western Wall.
I've only ever been the strange tourist group, so I've never.
Yeah. No, but like that's a normal one. But there was like bikers with tattoos, but they were like taking pictures with their middle finger up and yelling. I don't know.
There was
interesting. Like one time I ran into like the Luxembourg national soccer team just going there before their game with Israel. I was like, you meet like all sorts of people.
I have two questions.
James Hetfield.
One.
Yeah.
One appropriate, one probably inappropriate.
Yeah.
Was the last clue, did Noam slip it into the wall?
No, so that's a good question. No. So basically, I didn't realize this, but there was like a home clue. So basically, we get home really late. It's like right before Shabbat at this point. But he's like, no one's allowed in the house. It's like the last clue. So we do the last clue, and he sets off this like what you'd set off if your team won the championship in the arena, like confetti. For finishing the all the clues.
Love that.
Which is fun. except like a gust of wind came when he did it and like blew maybe like 1,000 white pieces of paper into the neighbor's yard. And Mara was like, everyone run in the house now. We don't want to see who did that.
Wow, I really respect that. Not everyone run there and clean up for the neighbors. Everyone scramble.
We were in a rush. Listen, it was like they all disintegrated. They were really small, I'm sure. But I think it was unclean. First of all, it wasn't just in there. It was just like blowing all over the neighborhood, really. It would have been uncleanupable, I think. And anyway, a 9-year-old did it. Blame him. Make him come and clean it.
My other question is, as a family, so the Western Wall is separated by gender, right?
Yeah. Most
so
of it.
So what's like the age cutoff? You take the boys, marriage. Well,
good question.
Girls,
I think bar mitzvah is fine. Like I took the 9-year-old, but the 6-year-old went with my wife.
Is that was his choice or your choice?
Yeah. The 9-year-old could have gone with my wife if he wanted, but he's getting big. And at this point, he's probably reaching the age where.
No, I mentioned Yosef preferred to go with Mara.
Yeah, he preferred
you?
To go with Mara. Yeah.
Well, he looks like Mara wants to go with Mara. I respect that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like it was great. And honestly, like, what a fun event to do before an absolutely miserable.
Right. Yeah. Because we're coming home at 5 by 7 in the morning already. The next day it was, we didn't know yet. But yeah, the world had changed.
I'll plug this at the top. Akiva and Alex did a podcast immediately after the holiday in the U.S. time. If you want to hear more about Akiva and Alex's sort of, I don't know, 24 hours, first 24 hours, or on the 32 fans patron or regular feed. I asked Alex if I could put it here, but then we're doing an episode to my surprise. So thrilled to be talking to you myself.
Yeah, all right, we can just direct people there. Would you even know? Do we know how to like do that? I guess we know how to do that.
To drop. Well, I would have needed Alex to send me the file, right. And I just said like, can I drop it? And he said sure. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to make him send me the file. So. I just tweeted it. All right. Sorry, I'm eating on the podcast. Let's talk about season 5, episode 13, Sam Again, originally aired March 29th, 2016. Kiwi, you want to do the digest?
Yes. Okay. Jess starts a new job at the most progressive school in Los Angeles. And guess who the principal is dating? It's Sam, her ex-boyfriend. Meanwhile, Schmidt is trying to, in a little bit of a pre-COVID thing, trying to stay healthy, not catch Nick's and everybody's cold because he's got a big presentation. Meanwhile, Winston is going on a date for, I think, the first time since he broke up with Allie.
Well, he never dated Allie, but yeah, since the sort of Allie of it all.
Well, he broke up with her as a partner.
Right. Well, they're back together as partners.
That's true.
In his effort to move on.
I don't know. Who knows what episode was aired first? Because it seemed in this episode like they weren't together. I don't know.
All right. You've already alluded to this, but MJ said, I feel like this was a weird episode. Thoughts? You didn't love this episode, Keeve.
No, I thought it was a bad episode, honestly. Like, I thought the sick thing didn't really work, didn't have a payoff. I thought Genevieve, the new principal, was annoying. I thought the Feelings Farm, what's it called?
Yep, Feelings Farm.
Should we bring, if we ever have, like, any disagreements, should we bring out the Feelings Farm, you and I?
I like to address people directly. I don't need to address an empty chair.
For sure.
Although I think in the 3 years we've been doing this, or however long we've been doing this, I've become much more reluctant to address people directly. I just kind of scream into the void and go about my business.
Less confrontational, you think?
Not less confrontational, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a puppet show involved in this episode. I don't think I laughed a lot, and I thought it was mostly didn't move the plot along, wasn't funny. I didn't really like the episode at all.
Okay, well, this is interesting because I came here ready to be like, the golden era of New Girl continues this week. I'm a sucker for this, and it's why I like certain rom-coms or whatever. Like, I'm a sucker for exes, or not even relationship, ex-friends, people who are no longer in each other's lives, having sort of these, like, forced moments of reconciliation. Like, in what world would Sam and Jess ever have a talk again, or Sam have that sort of breakthrough, or the confrontation between Nick and Sam? Like, I love that. It's one of the reasons I like the challenge, because now Leroy and Cam, who are challenge contestants, have a baby together with one on the way, solely as the result of being put in the house together as exes, and they probably never would have talked to each other again if not for the show. Like, I just, that kind of stuff, I just love it. So while it's not very sitcom-y, and they had a lot of gags, which, you know, your mileage may vary on how successful they were, but the meat of the episode being sort of a revisit of a past relationship that left on a rocky term, that's my bread and butter. I eat it up.
I hear you. No, I see why you like it. I guess if I was going to try and single out a couple funny moments, I did like some of the aspects in the school when we first go to the progressive school, the most progressive school in L.A. She says it's basically heaven if heaven was populated by kids who look like tiny members of Arcade Fire. That's funny. The Feelings Farm was funny. Just everything with, like, the school looks like it sucks, but it was pretty funny.
I laughed when the kid is like, sorry, I let my, like, masculinity get in the way, like an 8-year-old kid. Macho, too macho, yeah. And then I also liked when Jess shows up with the cornbread, she's like, hi, I couldn't do nothing. That felt very relatable to me. Of like, you know, you would be much wiser being like, leave it alone, leave it alone. And I'd be like, hey, it's me. I couldn't leave it alone. But yeah, so... it's interesting you mentioned that, like, pre-COVID Schmidt plot line. Matt S. says, is this ripping off the Always Sunny quarantine episode? Which I don't know what that is, so I'll have to ask you.
Is it ripping off quarantine?
The have you seen the quarantine episode of It's Always Sunny?
Huh. I think I have. It wasn't this year, was it?
I don't know anything besides that.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen almost every episode. I didn't watch every episode this year, but I think I did see it. But now I don't even remember, honestly. Oh, pre-COVID. Sorry, an early episode. Yeah, I do, but I don't remember. It was 15 years ago or 10 years ago or something. Literally 10 years ago, almost to the day.
I feel like we probably talked about this, or I think like the internet talked about this. What do you think Schmidt's COVID life was like? If this is what he's doing,
sure,
before a cold.
He was like, you know, like wiping off everything that came into his house, every package, until like 2022, you know, like pretty deep into COVID, I think. Like maybe he grew a beard and didn't see people for like 18 months.
I do like a silver lining of COVID. I mean, I would have rather not had the COVID pandemic, but obviously. But like, I think people are more like, stay home even if you have a cold. Wear a mask if you have a cold. Like, I don't care if it's COVID or not. Like, I don't want to get your cough or your kid's germs or whatever.
For sure.
So I like that aspect of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we should. I think now there's like a political stigma from some people, and it's like, oh, I can't believe wearing a mask. COVID's over. It's like, but there were a lot of countries where people did wear masks. So if you are sick, you know, why not wear a mask? Or stay home, whatever.
I'll say this. The political stigma of everything at this point can miss me heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But Cece and Nick are quarantining. They start watching this puppet show that you mentioned. Do you have any kid shows that you like genuinely like watching with your kids, sick or not?
Not really. We've gotten very into watching soccer together recently, me and the boys. But I don't watch their kid shows. Honestly, like, I guess I'm old, but a lot of the shows they watch are, like, no, we can watch movies together. Like, the family movies, and I've said they love 90s movies or, like, new, like, even junky new Netflix movies. You know what they watch? They watch the Kevin James Home Team movie this week.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard of that, but I famously love Kevin James. Unless he's canceled, then I don't.
No, he's not canceled, but he was playing Sean Payton, who was the coach of the New Orleans Saints until recently, is now the coach of the Denver Broncos, who just lost to the Jets this week. I don't know.
Do you recommend the movie or it was not?
I didn't see it. I mean, I was only there for a few minutes, but they it's just a random like Netflix movie. Did you watch the Bat Mitzvah movie? You're so not.
I did.
You like it?
It's funny. My mom really was offended by it, and she not as a Jew. Like she was like grossed out by the period moments. Yeah, and she was like, "I'm shocked a father would make this movie with his daughter." So then I watched it with that in mind, and I was like, Not only was I not offended, I'm offended that my mother thinks these things are inappropriate to discuss with your children as they're going through them, but also I loved it. I was like, this was obviously like completely blown up, but it brought me completely back to being a 13-year-old girl, and not with the bat mitzvah stress, but with the social stress. Like, it's my favorite movie.
Wow.
Not my favorite movie. Not my favorite movie. But, no, you know, I loved it. I loved it. No, I'm not editing this. This is what it is.
All right. That's good.
Did you like it?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it yet.
Oh, what?
I'm just thinking of Netflix movies my kids saw.
What did your kids think?
I don't know. I think Adira liked it. I'm not sure.
I'd be very interested to hear like Adira and Ella's POV being closer to that age.
I'd have to ask them. Yeah.
But they probably don't want to talk to you about it based on what my mom thinks about the movie.
I think I'm much more the mom. You're like the Jude in this scenario where it's like, right. I don't want to hear things and the kids are like willing to talk about anything. Like, sometimes I, you know, it's three women in my house. Like, sometimes I got to leave the room. I'm like, guys, don't have this conversation in front of me.
Well, good for what good environment that Mara has fostered then, that your kids feel comfortable even though you don't.
Yeah, I was like, guys, keep it to yourselves.
All right. So you mentioned Jess hitting it off with Principal Genevieve, played by Lucy Punch. I don't really know her, but I feel like she's familiar to me.
Yeah, I agree. I did look her up. But I do think.
I did not look her up. I think you said I did look her up.
I didn't look her up, but I thought like, hey, this, let's see, what is she? You know, it's funny because I feel like most of the time this actress would be playing an American and doing an American accent. But here they just let her be British.
It, like, really works, I think, for the character that she's British.
Yes, I agree. This is, like, feels like, oh, yeah, this should be a British school. I don't think I know her from anything. Dinner for Schmucks, Bad Teacher. But she's not, like, the star, I don't think, of any of these. How to Build a Girl.
Oh, my favorite movie. That was an alternate title for You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
20 episodes of what? Motherland?
That was a decent joke. That was a decent joke.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. I'm not going to look how many episodes of New Girl she's in. She's in two of Avenue 5. I don't know her.
It's funny, like, you mentioned editing this episode because I'm not going to. And the only edit I did in the last episode was when I stumbled over the explanation of how Jess and Sam broke up in his last go-round with the show. And thank goodness they gave a flashback because neither of us remembered it. That once they showed it, I was like, ah, yes, of course, that Sam basically leaves Jess because Nick kissed Jess. And he throw-punches Nick. And that basically, more than any issue between Jess and Sam, the star conflict of this episode is where things were left between Sam and Nick.
Yeah, that is funny. I do like that. I actually think this is like, you know, I say like, oh, you got to respect the listeners. And like, this is like bring back, you know, old stuff at this point. This I do like.
What do you mean you got to respect the list? I didn't get your self-referential reference.
Okay. Sometimes I think sitcoms like treat us too stupidly and like, hey, this plot never gets resolved and this, they never bring this up again. Like, I like the fact they're bringing up old stuff on the show, you know, that they're sort of respecting the show's own history. No?
Yes. I totally agree. I mean, I love that. And I love that Jess is like, how long does it take to get over a breakup? Like 2 years? I love that they're sort of placing it in time for us because it's been confusing, I think, how much time has passed in certain moments of the show. I like that they're giving us the flashback because, of course, we've forgotten. And it feels like, is it a little convenient that, of course, Sam's dating the principal at the school Jess wants to get a job at? But like, New York's a big city, and I bump into people all kinds of places, and I like that it wasn't just, like, Sam hits her up, or she sends, like, a drunk you up text, like, that they're meeting in a different context. It's not, like, a revisit of the relationship. It's just, like, an awkward moment between exes. That's, like, that's fun to address.
Yeah, no, I like it. The show should do more of it.
Yeah, I'd like to know what's going on with Ryan Gosinu. So hopefully he's the next X to
all of them. Bring back all the have like an X's. A season finale is just 20 X's.
Love it. I would live for that. That would be my favorite show instantly if that happened. But all right. So as we said, Jess goes to Sam to sort of like ask. She's probably correctly assuming that this is going to hurt her ability to get the job unless Sam like says it's cool. She brings cornbread. MJ says, how annoyed are you that Jess does her Jess thing? Do you think the loft could have stopped her had they not been sick? Was this an annoying, overly Jess moment for you?
Well, which part of it?
When she goes to Sam with the cornbread to try to meddle.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, someone's got to stop this, our sister here from doing that. This is crazy.
I mean, but what's the alternative? Like, I honestly respect Jess in this moment. I don't respect how she does it. I don't know if you're watching Love is Blind, but
I'm not.
There's a person, Lydia, who is on the show, spoiler alert, and one of her exes is in the pods. Mm-hmm. And when she finally, like, reveals this to the woman he's currently talking to in the pods, she's like, oh, my God, you're going to love his dog, Kobe. Oh, my God, like, I love that dog. And, like, I met his friends, and he drives a blue car, and you're going to love his apartment. Like, overshares in a way that Jess is doing here, right? Like, oh, I made cornbread because chocolate's too sexual. Like, why is she even putting it on the table? She talks about having had sex with Sam. That, why is that on the table? Like, so I don't agree with that approach. However, she really wants this job. I do think the Ridiculous School is a great fit for Jess, especially coming from where she came from in her last job with Principal Jesse Spano. But, like, what else is she supposed to do? Like, I do think she needs to talk to Sam or at least have another conversation with Genevieve about, like, being professional and not letting this kind of come in the way. Like, I don't think she should do nothing and just lose the job.
Well, I think, but by the end of the episode, it's resolved, no? Like, at once they break up, at this point, there's not going to be issues going forward. You agree or no?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in this moment, if it's like someone needs to stop her, she shouldn't have gone to Sam's house to talk to him. Like, what should she have done? It happens to only get resolved because Jess is a lunatic and breaks
right.
them up.
She makes the wrong decision, but gets the right result, yeah.
Right, but like, what would the sane person do then if not show up with cornbread?
I guess you could text, probably, rather than go to the boyfriend's house, but I think in general she has the right idea.
I do think if this were you, I could see getting a Twitter DM from you and you being like, you're not going to believe this, but like, someone Mara used to date, which I don't think is possible given how early you guys got together, whatever. Yeah. My sister's ex-husband, right. boyfriend, whatever, mm-hmm. is like now has some like position of authority over me, like, and right. it's my dream job. What sure. do I do? I think Akiva leaves that situation alone and just takes the L.
What if it's your job and it's like you're just trying to? I probably don't say anything. Yeah,
I think you'd hope you'd still get right because she still had the good interview. She could still get the job, and the woman could be professional and not like allow her ex-boyfriend or her boyfriend to have any bearing on the situation. I think you would just like roll the dice. I probably would too. Just, I hope I get the job. And if I yeah. don't, I gotta take the L.
It's too awkward. I live my life trying to avoid awkward conversations like this. So I agree. I'm just hoping for the best.
Meanwhile,
that,
Schmidt's
that alarm
helping
is in by you, right?
Yes. Yes. Sure. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Just make sure it's not a siren or something.
No. Schmidt is helping Winston get ready for a date. This plot was very, very thin. Matt Stewart wants to know if you prefer ice or hot coffee because Winston's considering getting iced coffee on the date.
I don't think I've ever even tried iced coffee. It's like my mom's like lifeblood, and I've when my daughters go to New York, it's like their thing, and I couldn't. I have no interest.
Does Israel not sell iced coffee? Why
they
do.
It's not as big of a part of the world, I think, here as it is in America. But yeah, it's for sure. Like it's a big thing in my family. I do not. I'm a tea drinker, but I have no problem with coffee. I'd much rather drink coffee than a hot coffee than cold coffee.
Well, the elixir of the gods, iced tea.
I thought you meant Coke. That's what I call Coke Zero.
No, unsweetened iced
tea
with a squeeze of lemon.
I had this crazy thought before. Do I put a Coke Zero in our bomb shelter? Every house has to be built here with a bomb shelter.
Just one Coke Zero?
Well, I mean, how many do I, you know what I mean? Like, just as like, because I don't need Coke Zero, but I feel like one.
Here's what I'll say. If you're down there where one will suffice, that's not long enough to warrant needing any Coke Zero. Saying.
Let's say we were there for, we had to be there for a
while.
So I
think
time.
You should put a case.
But there's
then.
No fridge there. So it's like, it's not going to be good. You know what I mean?
You don't even like iced coffee. Like, what's warm Coke Zero? That's very European. I think the question you should be asking yourself is, do you put a fridge down there? Let's start there.
That's an interesting idea. I guess if we had to stay for a long time, maybe move the fridge or something. Yeah, we surely.
But I think one is unnecessary. I think one, you'll never just need one. So it's either you're preparing to be down there for hours, in which case you need more than one, or a brief stint, you could deal without it. Mm-hmm. Well, how short are you on space down there? I also can't believe we're having this conversation.
How short am I on space?
Like, how precious is the space?
It's my kid's toy room. It's the kid's toy room. There's actually no door. We just got it fitted today to have a door. I don't know. It's like a regular room. It's like the size of a small bedroom. A boulder the size of a small boulder.
Serious question now, and I come from a doomsday prepper. One of my favorite stories about my dad is when the Ebola crisis was happening, he ordered like 5 years of freeze-dried rations. Like, mm-hmm. So he spent like some ridiculous money, and this is when he had cancer, so like it's pretty hysterical.
Where is it
literally
now?
Have terminal cancer and be buying 5 years of freeze-dried rations because of Ebola.
That is funny. Where is it though?
I think in the basement. And he was like, you laugh, but you'll be happy that I have this. I think part of it was like a legacy for the family.
I mean, I'm sure there was a day during COVID where you thought, all right, we have this. Not bad.
Well, I was like, during COVID, he would have really been like, see?
Yeah, I was right.
See?
Yeah. Even though you never really needed to have that. I agree.
No.
That's funny. Yeah, my grandfather. Did I say this right? That he bought like a really expensive like industrial printer for him and my father's office like 2 months before he died, and my father was like, and it was already, he was like, could barely work at this point, and now my father's like dealing with this enormous printer that is insane expensive, he can't get rid of, that he knew immediately was like, but what was he gonna tell him? Like, he couldn't tell dad not to buy.
My mom was pissed that my dad bought the ration. She was like, you don't work right now. Like, what are you spending this money on? This But do you keep things down there, like, actually, or that's just, like, a shelter for bombs?
Right now, I think there's water bottles in there. I mean, it wouldn't be, like, out of no, you know what I mean? You'd have time. And also, like, could you really not leave the house? They used to have it. I know this is going to be pretty dark. There used to be a bigger threat of chemical weapons. I mean, I don't want to say used to, and then who knows what happens. But that was, like, when they were fighting with Iraq in the early 90s, that was, like, Saddam Hussein's thing, basically, right? So there was gas masks when we first moved here. There was still, we had to buy gas masks right after we moved here. Less of a thing now. Someone's at the door. But
no, I knocked on wood, which is not Jewish.
No. But yeah, so I don't know. Usually you'd have a warning probably. We could bring stuff in. I don't know. I'm not a...
All right. Did you get the Brad Pitt on a tank in Fury reference? Is that a movie called Fury or something? What's the
Yeah, I think
Brad
he's
Pitt
like
movie?
Yeah, I don't remember that movie, but yeah, he is like a commander of some kind or something.
Basically the end result of, you know, this is like Winston's faking being sick because he's nervous about the date because he really still likes Allie, but the date seems to be going well. Is this just the magic of, if you don't really care, you don't have a lot of interest, people are into you? Like, I think Winston with no stakes on the line is the best Winston for a date.
Yeah. What do you think of the Winston date stuff?
I don't think it was unnecessary. It's a shame because it's like one of the first things Winston's gotten to do, like building a plot outside of Allie maybe,
right.
But, we don't even get the date's name. I don't know where this falls into the Akiva rules of like, well, we see this woman again because we don't get a lot about her, but it didn't end. Like, we just see them on the date is the last thing we see of her.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see this. But then you'd have a name if it was, like, going to be a storyline, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit into the rubric. The Kiwi rubric.
Stanley rubric.
All right, so we find out that... You know, getting to the bottom of it using the hippy dippy ways of the school. Sam wants an apology from Nick. That's what he really needs to get closure and then be okay with Jess getting the job, sort of. MJ says, does Nick need to apologize after 2 years? Is this warranted?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to apologize. It's weird because it didn't seem like he cared, and then he cared a lot, and then I don't know. I guess. But I guess, like, he has the power in this situation because she's trying to get the job, so he knows that she's going to be able to get Nick to apologize, no?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because the crime was committed by Jess. Like, I don't care. Like, right. Nick knew Sam. Nick should not. You should not be trying to swoop in on someone in a relationship. But at the end of the day, the duty is owed by the person in the relationship. So Sam caring so much about Nick's apology is like, Jess shouldn't have put herself in that situation and had that sort of build up with Nick, participated in it. Nick refuses to apologize, and basically they go to the feelings farm, and Nick is like, I'm not sorry. We dated, we fell in love, it was great. And that leads to sort of Sam having a breakthrough where we get the update on what's been going on with him for the last 2 years, that the breakup, you know, was the first time he really opened up to someone. He thought they were great. Then he went down this weird path and he doesn't even know who he is anymore. Genevieve is somehow exhilarated by this admission and then breaks up with him, allowing him to go become the old Sam again. What an unbelievable journey for 45 seconds.
Yeah, for sure. we covered a lot of ground in this episode.
An extremely iconic line, I think, for the series is Sam saying, as usual, I've had a terrible time in this horrible loft with all of you idiot people.
Yeah, no, I like, it's a little bit Seinfeldy, right? It's like,
yes,
you get involved with the gang, they'll ruin your life. There's a little bit of that now happening with the New Girl crew.
No, that is a good call. I also really love when Genevieve says, no, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go call my childhood phone number and scream at whoever picks up. I like this sort of unraveling of Genevieve as, like, from emotionally intelligent, like, kumbaya to, like, actually insane.
Yeah.
It's all guys. It's a front.
I think so. I mean, she's clearly a crazy person, right?
Yeah. And then Schmidt's presentation went terrible because he got sick, whatever. Again, like, the exciting part of this episode for me is really in sort of the Nick, Sam, Jess conflict. Another sort of iconic moment for the series is when Jess arrives at Sam's. This time she made brownies. I guess chocolate is just sexy enough for this moment.
Yeah. Is she coming over there hoping to, like, get back with him?
I don't know. Let's talk about that. I don't know what her objective is because she kind of has, she brought the sexy chocolate, which she said was too sexy for last time. And she's like, I'm sorry we broke up, but, like, it was just weird timing for me. Hard to call kissing somebody else a timing issue. And I agree, we were great together. And she has this kind of, like, little suggestive smile. And I don't know what you thought. Like, I was like, maybe this is sort of a re-return. Like, they're coming back in. And then when he squeezes and destroys the brownies and screams, get out of my life, like, boom, door shut on her permanently.
Yeah. I do think that has, like, I think that's what we're seeing by having her bring. She has to at least be open to the idea of getting back with him here.
Yeah. And it's like such a flaw of Jess's, right? Like, Jess has just again sort of shattered his reality. Like, he was presumably comfortable with whatever life he had. He was dating someone. He gets dumped by that person, has another sort of, like, you know, earth-shattering experience a la Jess. And Jess shows up, like, sniffing around, thinking something can happen again. Sam looks pretty good. He didn't get the apology from Nick. Like, he didn't get anything.
No, for sure. Yeah, he's a big loser in this episode. He did not win the episode.
the great cherry on top of the scene for me is when it's going to credits and just goes, Nick will eat them. It's like you with the kids' pizza crust.
That's right.
Tequila.
I mean, the hand smushed brownies.
So Matt Stewart says, getting to the Kiwi guide, do you think you're going to see Sam again?
I want to say no. I feel like his storyline ended here.
Yeah, definitely resolves, like, if we're using the Kiwi metrics.
Yes.
MJ says, Winston wins the... Oh, sorry. I have two entries for who won the episode. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read them to you, or do you want
to go first? Yeah, I'm going to guess the options are Winston and Jess, because those are the only realistic options.
And are you willing to make a verdict? Do you want to hear each candidate's...
I want to hear what they have
rationale.
To say.
Sure. Mm-hmm. MJ says Winston wins the episode, right? Gains the courage to go on a date and crushes it, or does Sam win because he becomes Sam again? Matt S. says MVP Jess, I guess, not because she had a good episode, but because she came in without a job and left with one while everyone else got sick.
Yeah, I think it's okay. So I'm along the same lines, but I think Winston going on the date, it wasn't a big part of the episode. We don't even learn her name. Jess gets a job. She wanted the job. She ultimately resolves this thing, even if it wasn't positively. I'm giving it to Jess. No obvious winner here, so give it to Jess.
I agree it's Jess. I think for Winston to have won the episode for me, there would have had to be another scene where he comes back from the date and is like, yeah, I'm over Allie and something really great is going to happen with Charlene. Like, whatever. Like, we didn't get any moment of, like, actual resolve. And if anything, he's going on the date, and while it's going well, like, he didn't want to go because he's still in love with Allie. So how well could it really go?
Right.
So I'll give it to Jess sort of by the facts of... She also got to hear a great outburst from Nick about their relationship. Like, that's got to feel good. So she really gets it all. And she's not even bummed when Sam smushes the brownies. She's really unaffected by the whole thing.
Yes.
Seeing Sam again, do we have to update the boyfriend rankings, or does this stay Nooch?
I think he pretty much stays neutral. Where do we have him? You remember?
Well, I have mine. I have Nick, then Sam. I have him as a strong number two. Which, honestly, like, seeing the callbacks, like, maybe Sam should be above Nick. I don't really remember.
Why? He's got the rage issue is the problem.
Well, so do I.
Oh, so you respect? You're okay with someone with rage issues?
I relate to rage. I speak rage.
Despite all my rage, I can't give him a better grade. He's staying at number two.
All right, Kiwi, we're hitting the hour mark. We can skip.
No banana minute though. Bad job by the Yost man, or by me getting the Yost man to.
You've had other things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he would have been happy to do a banana minute. You got to just bribe him a little bit.
What's the question we had for him? We were going to ask him something now.
Oh, I don't remember. If someone remembers.
We said it in this podcast, but I'm not editing this baby, so I won't hear it. If you want to leave us a question, some of these questions were left a year ago. So if you're watching the episodes as you're going, if you're in season 7, you want to leave us a question for the end of the series, do it in the questions link. It's pinned in my Twitter account, again, at LashTweets. Follow Keeve at Keeve26. Check out the 32 Fans podcast that dropped. We already mentioned about the conflict, the war, terrorist attack. Very interesting that I was laughing that Chester just called it war.
I know. Well, honestly, I'm probably not the exact name, but he had also just come out of the holiday for 48 hours. So he was like in various stages of hearing news. But yeah, it wouldn't have been my pick. But ultimately, people, I think, had very nice things to say about our conversation. I don't know. Hopefully this week we'll be able to watch more football, but who knows? There was only one point this week where when Twitter said that there was a Lebanon had entered the war. Because Twitter's great, and they just like make up World War III, and then there's like no apologies and no repercussions, and so at that point I was like basically on the verge of like a panic attack. Like they're saying, you know, they sent hundreds of rockets and they had a lot of boots on the ground. Like that's really scary stuff, and Lebanon has a legitimate army. So at that point I was like, oh, I can't function anymore. But other than that, I've pretty much been able to function this week.
Yeah, you're a very even keel measured person, because when you messaged me about that, you were like, this would be very bad. Even then, it was still.
Yeah, but I wanted
measured.
To just like, yeah, like I didn't want to scare the people here. So I was almost like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So check that out. You're doing Renap. I saw great name for the upcoming
great
Renap
name.
Episode.
I don't remember who came up with it. Maybe Rob. I apologize if it was someone other than Rob. Kirsten. I don't know who did it. Honestly, I'm not sure.
One of Renap's many great, talented contributors, I'm sure. What is it again? We judge sins, not tragedies?
I rate sins, not tragedies.
It feels more Kirsten than Rob, but could have been.
But maybe
anyone.
That's why I think it was Rob. I apologize. I don't remember. We came up with the name a while
ago. No one will be upset that you're plugging the wrong person at the end of this podcast.
No one will even hear. That's fine.
Yeah. So what is that? People write in things they've done?
Yeah, basically, we're I think because we always talk about like getting to heaven or hell or whatever. So it's like we're deciding people go to heaven, hell, or purgatory based on things they've done.
Should I write in about the worst date in history?
The worst date in history?
Yeah, I told you. You once said if that's not the worst date he's ever been on, he has bigger problems.
Yeah, but is it a? Did anybody sin? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but you always have to delete this if you write that in. I don't want people. You want people to know it's you?
No. I'm not contributing my best stories to it.
Oh no, that story. It's an amazing story, but it's not.
Also, Rob knows the person.
Knows of the person.
Right. Well, let's create more of a buzz. Rob knows the person. Yeah. maybe people now are listening to the end of this podcast.
Imagine,
maybe this was a viral thing.
Do you ever think like you do something, not that you've ever done something crazy. You do something crazy. You think people are like, does it bother you if people are like talking about you like, hey, you know that so-and-so Ally Lasher? Like you're like the crazy person in their minds?
I unrelated to this, like I am the crazy person in like the my friendships that dissolved when my dad died. Like, yeah, like I am a ghost haunting a group of people who think I'm insane. Mm-hmm. In this context, like, yeah, I think I probably talked to Missy about that. That like that guy is definitely like being like, oh, what an insane person that was. But like, mm-hmm. Nah, I was. And I tell the story the same way. Like, I'm fine with it.
But it doesn't.
I don't like a mischaracterization. Like, I am bothered more by the friends thing or like certain exes of mine who probably think I'm crazy. Like, that particular story we're talking about, any version of that story he's telling is totally warranted. A mischaracterization bothers me more. Tell stories of things I've done, that's fine.
Yeah, I hear you.
You, I think like, you would hate it. Yeah.
I don't like when people talk about me. You know what I mean? Like,
people only say good things about you, though, except for me.
Yeah, but maybe that's why I'm the way I am, because it's so, like, I don't want people to. I don't even want people. I don't mind if people say good things, but I don't want. I feel uncomfortable when people talk about me. I didn't even like, even being at my wedding, I didn't like being the center of attention, you know?
Well, that's interesting. I think that's why the Renap Reddit stuff bothered me so much, is some people were saying things that I think have since been deleted that were not true. Like, they were making, like, statements mm-hmm. about me that I... Mm-hmm. So I care tremendously about my, like, actual reputation. And
sure.
Again, if something... If someone is saying something about me that's true, this person was mean to someone on... Allie was mean about a challenge contestant, or Allie was annoying on the podcast. That's true. Like, that's fine. People are making statements about me that are not true, then I have more of a problem.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. That would really drive me insane. I would, like, have, like, a 12-step rebuttal if it was me, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if you... well, yeah, you would have a smart 12-step rebuttal, and I would just, you know, scorch earth the whole thing and make it my whole
How do you deal with... There's been so many things that I know are, like, in my bones, like, demonstrably wrong or false or, like, proven... whatever, and I see them, and it's like, who cares what this one person thinks? A, you're not going to be able to change their mind. B, like, they're just one person. C, like, there's a chance people will pile on you. Who knows? There's a lot of bots, whatever, people on social media. What do you do when you see stuff that really upsets you?
I mean, are we talking about the context of the conflict right now, or are we talking
about...
Yeah,
but in general. I think yes, yeah. But also in general.
It's hard. I think generally when something is just sort of... I think it feels more of an issue right now. I think previously, maybe ignorantly, I was like sort of whatever about people posting ignorant and anti-Semitic things about the Israel-Palestinian conflict generally. I think right now it feels... Honestly, I just cry sometimes. But I can't engage, like, to your point. Like, you know, people... I've been tweeting about my own feelings and retweeting sources I think are reputable or comments that I agree with, and some limited people have responded with, you know, some unkind messages, and I don't respond to those people.
Right.
Like, all I can do is do my own feed, put out to people who follow me what I feel, and if people want to scream at me back, that's fine. I'm not gonna, but I can't participate.
Yeah, I think in general it's hard for me to, like, not get the last word if I'm, like, 100% sure I'm right, you know?
Yeah, I think part of it is my fear. Is like, my mom's like, you're tweeting about this? Like, what if someone comes and finds you? And I'm like, if someone's going to kill me because I'm Jewish, like, they'll do it because they've listened to this podcast, not because of what I'm tweeting about Israel.
Right. No, I don't know if that's true, but okay.
Well, yeah, it's really scary. It just feels more, obviously higher stakes right now than it did the last wave of.
I mean, listen, I have this rhetoric. Honestly more often with sports. Like, I see someone as like a pick, and I was like, that's like that guy's not the fourth best St. Louis Cardinal ever. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, then fight with those people. What are the stakes? Like, then everybody's just having fun. No one's going to be like.
But no, I get angry. Yeah, I'm not having any fun when I do that.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
I mean, sometimes. No, if it's like with someone I know, it's like playful banter. But if it's like a random stranger.
All right, well, you're being tested then at max capacity this week, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think you should also shouldn't care. Like, it's like the famous tweet. Like, there's no such thing as cyberbullying. Like, just shut your computer off.
Well, but that's the stakes issue of it, right? Is like, yeah, if somebody wants to, like, debate whether the survivor move was a good move or the
challenge
person.
Right, but who cares about winning arguments in general, no matter whether it's the most important thing in the world or the least? You know what I mean? It's like, A, you're almost never going to convince somebody. B, you're wasting your time. Like, let them believe what they have to believe. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, it's just when the consequence means your life is in danger, it's
sure. No, for sure. But is your life in danger because of what people think on Twitter? I don't know.
Hopefully not. Based on Twitter, mm-hmm. Hopefully not. Yeah, no. So with that, we'll just the feelings farm can be indefinitely closed because we're never gonna take it to the feelings farm. We're gonna just shut the computer and ignore Twitter.
Okay, perfect.
All right, Keeve. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to plug. Renap, 32 fans, the challenge. We're coming to an end on the challenge. If you're looking for a distraction or you don't,
I thought
care,
it started.
But you wanna watch. We're coming to the end. No, the Challenge USA 2 will wrap up, and then we will immediately transition into the Challenge
right?
30, whatever. Yeah. Check it out, robinswebsite.com/challenge feed. You got to think about what the episode title is about. Season 5, episode 14, 300 feet.
300. So this week's episode was Sam again, and did I say Sam was an ex-boyfriend that came back? I don't remember.
Yeah, we discussed it.
Okay. 300 feet. Nick must be 300 feet from a school at all times.
Oh, God. hopefully it's not that. All right, Keeve, stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
See you all. I will be ya.
Ali and Akiva, gonna talk a TV show, and maybe Jenny Garner, so don't go any farther now. Akiva and Ali, all the way to the finale. His face is his job. She's the captain of NGOG. Ali.